Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, I did. So I packed it up and brought it back to the crib. Just a little something to show you how we live. Everybody doing it, but it ain't that serious. That's that shit. So if you gon' do it just like this.
Did you realize that you are a
champion? You don't see just how wild the crowd is. You don't see just how fly my style is. I don't see why I need a stylist when I shop so much I can speak Italian. I don't know, I just want it better for my kids. And I ain't saying we was from the project, but every time I want to lay away or deposit, my dad would say, when you see clothes, close your eyelids. We was sort of like Will Smith and his son. In the movie, I ain't talking about the rich ones. Cause every summer, he'd get some brand new hair, brain scheme to get rich from. And I don't know what he did for dough, but he'd send me back to school with a new wardrobe. And hey, hey. I think he did when he packed it up and brought it back to the crib. Just a little something to show you how we live. Everything I wanted, man, it seems so serious. That's that shit. So if you gon' do it just like this.
Did you realize that you are a champion?
When it feels like living's harder than dying. For me, giving up's way harder than trying. Lauryn Hill said her heart was in Zion. I wish her heart still was in rhyming. Kids gon' listen to, huh? I guess me if it isn't you. Last week I paid a visit to the institute. They got the dropout keeping kids in the school. I guess I clean up my act like Prince of Doom. If not for the pledge, at least for the principal. They got the CD, then got to see me drop gems like I dropped out of PE. They used to feel invisible. Now they know they invincible.
Hey,
hey,
hey. Champion, run on the mark till they pop the gun. Stand up, here we come. Tell me what it takes to be number one. Tell me what it takes to be number one. This is the story of champion. Run on the mark till they pop the gun. Stand up, here we come. Tell me what it takes to be number one. Tell me what it takes to be number one.
Yes, I did. So I packed it up and brought it back to the crib. Just a little something to show you how we live. Everybody want it, but it ain't that serious. That's that shit. So if you gon' do it just like this. Like this.
Did you realize that you are a champion?
What's up, what's up, what's up? Welcome to the championship edition of the Detroit Sports Rap. I am your host, along with my co-host, L. Diggity Dog. We're here to talk about opening day of the Detroit Tigers. Duke won a national championship yesterday. Unfortunately, it wasn't Kentucky or MSU, so we're going to talk a little bit about those guys. We're also going to talk a little bit about the U of M spring game that took place this past Saturday, as well as we're going to mock picks 11 through 20 of the NFL draft, and also look at defensive tackles, rush ends, outside linebackers, and defensive ends in the upcoming NFL draft. So we got a fun-filled, action-packed show for you today. L. Diggity Dog, you with me?
I'm here, baby. What's up?
Having a good day, man. How was your day, man?
You know, it's adventurous as usual. I'm in class right now, so, you know, I can't complain.
Okay. That's what's going on. That's what's up. We're going to kick it right off, man, with your boys of summer, man, even though it's still spring around here. Opening day, Detroit Tigers, 4-0 victory. David Price, eight scoreless series. Mason came in and got the save. He looked good, looked like the ace that we, you know, brought him in to be. The team defense looked good. We saw Cespedes take away a home run. What were some of your observations from opening day?
The pitching. That's all I need to reiterate on that. Right now, I'm going to tell you, the defense did look good. You had Roger Davis playing in center field. Speed is always something that does what it does. Our pitcher looked out cold. Even though he had to pitch into the ninth inning to make sure he secured that win, I'm down with that. He's the ace. He's whatever he had, the mental block he had last year, looks like he's gotten rid of it. Well, that's only one game. But, you know, like I said, he's looked like he's there. Nathan came in, got a save, even though he got booed all the way into the game. But, hey, I'm down with it. You know what I'm saying? I know it's only one game to start, but we won all. And it's one of those games that we needed to win. We needed to, you know, flex our muscles, and we did what we had to do. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah, we surely do have 161 more games to go, so I'm not going to get too excited. We saw David Price. He had a good outing. I think, to me, the whole team looked pretty good. I think we saw firsthand some of the changes and some of the upgrades that were made. We saw Cespedes and his defensive prowess and his range, able to go back to the fence, jump over the fence and take away a homer. We saw Iglesias. We saw his effect twofold. We saw great middle of the field defense for him, and he also showed, you know, some decent ability once he got on base to really, really move. He stole two bases yesterday. We talked about Price's pitching prowess, as well as Nathan coming in and getting out of the ninth without, you know, any trouble. So definitely some encouraging signs. Again, it's just one game. We still got a long time, a long season ahead of us. We still got to make sure Verlander is healthy and, you know, effective. But it was definitely an encouraging start. It was very, very energetic downtown, sold out Comerica Park. So the energy for these boys is definitely, definitely here. We had the Minnesota Twins, who are, you know, definitely in our division. So it's always good to get a division win and a leg up on those guys.
That's funny. That counts as two wins. Anytime you get a division win, it's two wins.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What did you think, though, of Cabrera? Didn't have a big day. It's still kind of early for him. I'm sorry. I'm not Cabrera. The V-Mart. Did V-Mart play yesterday? I didn't see him in the box score, so I didn't know if he had any at-bats or what. I didn't see any hits or anything for him at the DH.
I don't think I seen V-Mart hit. I know J.D. Martinez came in and lit one up.
J.D. was good.
J.D. was good. He looked real good. So, and Avila lit one up. So, you know, good dig us to our catcher finally. My thing is this, though. It looks like we can win without, you know, saying just to make sure the two key people get healthy, key players get healthy. It looks like that we can actually get the ball going. We got a lot of depth out there that can come in. Somebody can play a DH for us and play another position for us and contribute. We don't have to rush him back into play. If he was out there, like I said, I didn't see him. They might have pulled him, or he didn't, because, you know, he was a questionable opening day scratch anyway. But if that's the case, good. Let him rest up, get it together, and then let's go and get everything going. You know what I'm saying? We need him for the long run. So I'd rather we rest him up anyway before we put him out in the fold and get him going.
Yeah, I definitely want him to come back definitely right, if that's the appropriate word. I definitely want him definitely out there right. So he can definitely, you know, be a guy who can, you know, be a run producing guy in that four spot for us. Let's keep it moving. We're gonna talk about the championship game, but I wanna go a little bit to the two semifinals game. We saw Michigan State come up short against Duke, the eventual national champion. Let's talk a little bit about, we've talked all season about, you know, the job that Izzo did. At first it was kind of shaky, but these last 20 games, I think he really, really turned that program around. He had a good run in the NCAA tournament. Unfortunately, ran into a Duke team that was destined for greatness, had a lot of athleticism, had a lot of offensive prowess, and a solid defensive team, as we saw them shut down Wisconsin in the second half yesterday. But Michigan State, man, let's kind of put a bow on their season, man.
I would give Michigan State this, man. They had a great run. They did exceeded everybody's expectations for them just to be there. It was hell of a, you know what I'm saying, solidifies my man's legacy as one of the best coaches ever to coach college basketball, especially with a team that everybody thought should never ever even had a chance to make it that far. But at the same time, I'm going to tell you like this. I felt that they did choke a little bit. I know that's a hell of a thing to say, but here's the problem. You saw it early. You saw often they were scared to go inside. They were scared of big Dukes. I mean, the Dukes bigs. They didn't want to play like they didn't make any adjustments like they normally would make. You know what I'm saying? They didn't change it up like they normally do. They wasn't playing the Michigan State brand of basketball. Michigan State was fearless all the way until they played Duke. You know, they went from being a fearless team to a cautious team, which is something that the Michigan State should not have ever thought about being. with that right there, I say that, you know, I'm not. It's choke is a hell. It's such a strong word to say, but that's basically what you got out of them, a choke job. They should have been pressing the issue. They should have been hammering Duke. They should have put Duke Biggs in foul trouble, and they didn't. Well, like I said, for the season, hell of a good job for the season. But as far as that play against Duke, I mean, you can give Duke credit, like, you know what I'm saying, the Biggs and some good players in there. It's good talent. But damn it, Michigan State didn't play their fearless type of basketball either. They were scared. They didn't go and attack like they normally do. Excuse me, like they normally do. They played a perimeter game the whole game. And, you know, I would like to, if they would have just drove more often. You saw people drive into the hole right there scared to put up because they're worried about getting blocked on the back out. You saw that too many times down there. A team like Duke in a position like this, you got to put your foot on the throat and, you know what I'm saying, do what they got to do. Because they were up by like eight, and then Duke stormed back and did the thing. So they got to, you know, they have to play with more tenacity, man. And it happened. That scared type of play showed its head again in that Duke game.
I'm going to tell you this, man. I think you're real hard on those guys, man. But I know you're a homer. I'm gonna give you that, man. But the bottom line is, man, when you look at strength on strength, you know, Michigan State strength is not post basketball. It hasn't been off season. They're post players: Chev, Schilling, Costello, whoever else you want to put on there has didn't average double figures this year. And they're really not a great post team. They're a perimeter based team. You look at the players: Brent Forbes, Travis Trice, Valentine, those guys are perimeter players, and basically they ran into Duke, who's fresh to me. Yeah, they have a big guy in the middle, a freshman, but he's not a big time defender and shot blocker. He's kind of a, you know, great offensive player, but their strength is on their wings and in their backcourt, and we saw it again last night. So I don't, you know, they were up 14-6 in the first 5 minutes, and then after that first TV timeout, it was kind of all downhill from there. I'm not going to say that it's a choke job. I just think they ran into a thing that was better than them. I really, really do. And great year for Izzo. He got the most out of this team. He squoze the most out that he could out of this team. I think it's going to be a great springboard. I think it's going to be a great springboard for them going into next season. They have a solid group of freshmen coming in. Kyle Ahrens and McQuaid, gentlemen. A four-star recruit on the wing. They also have Aaron Harris, who's a transfer from West Virginia. He was West Virginia's starting two guard 2 years ago, and they're leading the score. They also get back Javon Best, who's coming off an injury. And they get Deontay Davis, who's a big fella, five-star recruit right out of Michigan here, two-time Mr. Basketball, who can give them somebody who can give them some low-post scoring and some low-post defense. I think they have a great chance, you know, looking at what they bring back from this year of making another run and maybe even going farther. You know, you look at Valentine, he's probably going to be the leader of the team. He is the leader now. He's going to be a senior. You got Costello and Schilling coming back along with the freshman Davis up front, give you some up front depth inside. You got Bryn Forbes, Marvin Clark Jr., and the Ellis kid coming back. So you got a nice little nucleus going on there, man. So I look forward to what Michigan State's going to have going into next year. And I think they're going to be a top 10 team coming into the season. I really do.
You need a lot of depth on the team.
You said, well, oh, yeah, it's going to be depth, but it's going to be talent. You know, everyone says that he needs talent. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give Izzo a little bit of grief because he is a Sparty. But, so I mean, he has a terrible record. First, this guy, Krzyzewski, I think he's 1-9. Versus Krzyzewski. And he also, to me, he definitely needs another victory or two, championship, to be really, really, really considered the best. I mean, we're talking about Wooden, who was in another era. He got 10. And there was a couple guys with 4. I know, now he's got 5. Coach K's got 5. You know, I he's a very good coach. They have a very good program, an elite program. But I won't say a championship program because they haven't put enough banners up, man, for championships. He gets them there. You know, he definitely gets them there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see another championship or two to really, really, really put him into the upper echelon, the real echelon of coaches. Right now it's kind of Wooden and Coach K are on one level, and then we got the rest of the very good coaches. Let's talk a little bit about Kentucky.
Look out, next year I think Izzo might be there.
let's talk about Kentucky
ran into a buzzsaw team called the Wisconsin Badgers. I want to toot my own horn. I said Wisconsin was going to top Kentucky because I seen how Wisconsin play. Kentucky relies on two or three players. Wisconsin matched up perfectly with them. I mean, perfectly with them. They couldn't get no much better of a matchup than that. The only problem with Kentucky is, I guarantee you, four or five of the cats won't return. They're going to be in the NBA. So Kentucky's going to have to rob, eat, chill, get whatever we can to get back next year to go back to where we're at. And so the coaching staff is hell of a, but at the same time, the talent they get makes the coaching staff that much better.
I won't say that because I don't even know who they got coming in, but every year they got a heck of a class coming in. And it's the junior league of the NBA. You know, Calipari's a good coach. I give him that. He definitely is a better salesman. I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but he's definitely a better salesman because to get those guys to buy in, all those guys could be on a team averaging 17, 18 points a game, but none of them average more than 13 a game. So they really, really bought in. Kentucky's a good team, a very good team. By watching them all year, I thought they definitely had a shot to win the championship, and they made it to the Final Four like they did last year.
No, everybody thought they was going to win it.
Unfortunately, they lost, you know what I mean? But with all that being said, to me, they're just a good team that couldn't get it done, you know, because, like I said, I thought they were good, pretty good, but they ran into a hot Wisconsin team that had played them extremely tough last year and played them, you know, basically to the final buzzer last year.
That revenge factor is there.
You know, and this year, Kaminsky did a great job on their bigs. Sam Decker did a great job on their bigs. And they did a good job defending and making baskets. Now let's go forward to the championship game. Oh, I'm sorry. Before we go there, we're going to talk about Mr. Andrew Harrison's comments about Kaminsky, man. You know, I know everyone has heard, but there was a question asked to one of Andrew Harrison's teammates about what type of player, you know, Kaminsky was, and he uttered F that N-word, I guess, under his breath, but his mic was live, and he caught a lot of flack with that, man. What's your thinking on that? Do you think it's a big deal, not a big deal? Give me kind of how you felt about that, man, how you see that.
I mean, you know how I feel about the N-word being used loosely, especially in competitive sports, man. I don't like it. You know what I'm saying? It's weird, being demeaning, disrespectful, disregarding, and demolishing your opponent, you know what I'm saying, in different ways. My thing is this, though. My man was frustrated. He was pissed. He's apologized for it. He's received a lot of ridicule. People from all aspects heard it, seen it, got on his head in judgment for it. Move on. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people out here doing worse. You know, you just the first time you hear me say this. Just move on. He apologized. Hey, he called him in the personally, extended his hand in apology. My man accepted it. That was the end of that conversation. Let's go. You know what I'm saying? You got your ass whooped. You're going to say a lot when you get your ass whooped. He just didn't know his mic was on. You know what I'm saying? Hey, we say a lot when we got our ass whooped. You know what I'm saying? And we ain't have a mic. So, you know, hey, she shook his hand. He apologized. Get on. You already got your ass whooped. So, peace.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, but I think there's a little bit of a different dynamic that goes on because, you know, definitely he was a sore loser. I think that was kind of the epitome of them being a sore loser. So I understand that they didn't want to shake Wisconsin's hand at the end of the game, and then they go into a press conference.
But they're not used to winning. They're not used to losing anyway, though. You know what I'm saying, Carl? Well, you had it right. They are sore losers. They're not used to losing. They've been put on this pedestal since the beginning of the basketball season. You know what I'm saying? These are – this was supposed to be a team that was supposed to break all records, shine, do everything. So for a team to come in and do what they did, you know what I'm saying, and pretty much I can say that was an embarrassing loss for them, even though others – you know what I'm saying? It's an embarrassing loss for their standards because, hell, they lost. They were supposed to be this guru of a team. You know what I'm saying? This everybody was saying – what my man say? He thinks that – Kentucky was a team that could have beat somebody in the NBA. Who the hell said that dumb shit? What coach said that, Carl? Said that, 2 weeks ago? He thought Kentucky was a team that could beat an NBA team. You know what I'm saying? That's how they was getting, they was throwing Kentucky around so loosely. So, yeah, they bought into that type of hype. So for them to come out there and get their ass spanked like that, yeah. They're going to be sore losers.
Hey, low key though, I would love to see Kentucky versus the 76ers, though. I would love to see that.
Shut up, Kentucky. I would love the NBA players.
Or Kentucky versus the Knicks without Carmelo. I would love to see that game.
Listen, they would lose. 10 out of 10 times, they will lose. I'm going to tell you right now. Those are men playing against boys. They're more skilled. They're more polished. They've perfected their trait. They're strong. Their attitudes is different. They can get into them young boys' head. You got grown-ass men. Not three or four men. It's playing against some couple of kids out there. You got grown men, a collective group of teams that will get out there and spank that ass.
That's not the old NBA. Everybody's 25, 26, 27 in the league. I mean, there's a bunch of 18 and 19-year-olds on Philadelphia. There's a bunch of young guys on New York. Philadelphia especially, they've traded away all of their assets basically for draft picks and things. So they're not your typical – NBA team. How many players for Kentucky?
How many freshmen Kentucky got starting?
Freshmen? I believe one or two.
Start for Kentucky. They got two starters on freshmen. How many are sophomores?
I think they got two sophomores and a junior.
Okay. So you're looking at 18, 19, 20. Right? 18, 19, 20 around the age?
Yeah.
76ers? At 76ers? 20. Maybe 19, 22, 24. 20, you know what I'm saying? You got that old man strength. Come on, Carl. We older men ourselves. That old man strength, that knowledge of the game.
I'm not saying that they won't win. I didn't say that. I would love to see it. I just would, and I challenge you, because I know you're not the best basketball aficionado, but take a look at Philadelphia's roster. Take a real long look at it. That's why I named them. I didn't just say any NBA team, but there's a couple teams that they will give problems to, because guess what? They've got 8 to 10 NBA players, too. Yeah, they may be young, whatever, but they may have skills that evades what these other guys have, and it's not weightlifting. This is not just,
okay,
you know, I'm just going
to watch this.
This is not football. It surely will. Like I said, this is not the NBA of 10, 12, 15, 20 years ago where, you know, you had to go to school for 3 years, get coached up, and come on out. There's a lot of cats from some of the things. Minnesota's playing with about 5 or 6 19 and 20-year-olds. These boys just beat a bunch of boys who were 21, 22-year-olds. So it's fathomable.
But it won't happen, I guarantee you.
And it was Larry Brown who made the statement. I'm going to tell you, again, I'm not saying that he could beat him, but if anybody is equipped or qualified to say who could possibly give somebody a run, I think it's Larry Brown. I think he's been at
college. That's a senile, old, got to piss all the time fool. Carl, is this any solidity Illinois State Associated Head Coach Troy Ward? Died in a plane crash on the way back from Illinois from the game.
I'm sorry, what now? Yeah, I did read an assistant did die in a plane crash. Yep.
Well, we'll give our condolences out to everybody over at Illinois State right now. Let you know, hearts and prayers with the family, though.
Yes, sir. Duke, Wisconsin.
National championship game. Wisconsin. Wisconsin. A team that I have love for, only because I went to the, you know, I went to school there briefly, very briefly. But second, though, they're from the powerful Big Ten Conference. And third, they got cheated. There were so many fouls out being called. I love how the announcers and everybody else massages Duke's testicles on the air. You know what I'm saying? I don't care what nobody say. Duke is a loved team for some reason. I don't know why they can so be loved. But damn it, a foul is a foul. When you just foul three times in one play and they say somebody's defense is out cold, God, man, swallow it. Hey, man, swallow the whistle the other way. Don't put them in a double bonus when you ain't thinking about calling a foul the other way, man. I'm serious, man. That game right there, hey, okay, I understand how you can't say one possession can cost you, but we have seen that lately, that one possession can cost you now.
So you stand by the mantra that they were cheated?
Hey, here's my thing. When it comes down to the last few minutes of the game, swallow your whistles, ref. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't going to call them both ways, just the same way, don't call a damn thing. Don't sit there and be like, okay, he got five times in one possession.
I saw the game. And I'm going to say that I'm not going to go the cheating route because I don't think it was that blatant. I think there was a couple questionable calls, but I think there was a couple questionable shots that Wisconsin took that run to end the game when they were up by nine, and then they, you know, end up getting down. That 20-10 run was costly. Not being able to get that fifth foul on Jahlil Okafor was costly, but the bottom line is,
yep,
Wisconsin had control of the game, and then this guy named Grayson
dominated the game.
First guard off the bench,
dominated the game.
Explosive, athletic white boy came in with tremendous energy, tremendous want it. And basically, for a 4 to 6 minute stretch, basically took over the game and re-energized Duke. He scored baskets. He went to the hole strong. He went in the hole strong, finished, got fouled. He played great defense. He ripped Trayvon Jackson twice. Ripped him once and then ripped him again, and Trayvon got a foul out of it. And just totally re-energized the team. And then once he did that, it was kind of like the Tyus Jones show. That guy hit big shot after big shot after big shot, whether it be a three-pointer, whether it be a dribble drive and one. He played big time. To me, their team played more big time down the stretch than what Wisconsin did. Kaminsky did his thing for the most part, but he had a hard time later in the game. Sam Decker, who had a great tournament, averaged over 20 points a game coming into this game. He kind of disappeared. He only scored 12 points, was 0 for 6 from three-point range. I think the Bo Ryan made a tactical error by going a little bit more with Trayvon Jackson. He did have a good first half. Trayvon gives him he was the original starting point guard. He got hurt, missed most of the season. I forget the gentleman's name who started in place of him that did a pretty good job, but he's a little less athletic than Trayvon. Can't really, you know, not as fleet of foot as Trayvon, and couldn't really disrupt the offense. Couldn't really penetrate the defense like Trayvon did. But in the second half, I can see Trayvon hasn't, you know, he's basically just been back a couple games. He didn't quite have his legs. He didn't quite have his shot. I think that he should have went, Bo Ryan, that is, should have went with his point guard a little longer, his starting point guard a little longer than Trayvon. Then you had those two times where he got stuck up and turned the ball over, and those immediately turned to Duke points and immediately turned to Duke momentum. So I think there were some moments there and some opportunities for Wisconsin to take a hold of the game, but they didn't. One thing I will say, we saw Brandon Miller step up. We saw Tyus Jones step up. We also saw Shaquille Okafor, who had a bad game for basically 30 minutes. He was in foul trouble for most of the game. Come in and hit some timely baskets late in the game when they really, really needed it. Wisconsin didn't have anybody to really, really step up. Nigel Harris was trying to do this thing for a minute, but then late in the game, it just became the Frank Kaminsky show. And everybody knows Frank Kaminsky, and no one really could step up and make passes. And I think that was really ultimately their undoing. Counterpoint, sir? I said counterpoint, sir? I said counterpoint, sir?
No, I got you. I agree with you 100%. You good right there. I mean, but like I said, though, I mean, it's just when you got somebody with four fouls and then they're attacking, and everything they do when they're attacking is they'll put them in foul troubles, all of a sudden doesn't get called. It's kind of suspect to me, but that's okay. I mean, you know what? Hey, good job, Duke, you won. Good job.
Listen, let me tell you, it was genius on Coach K's part, and I give him a lot of credit. I told you last week I thought Wisconsin was going to win, so I'm not going to take credit for the Duke win. But I told you last week, in a quick turnaround, a two-day turnaround, Coach K is one of the best coaches, period. I have to do it, period. But he is one of the best coaches at preparing his team with that 2 days before that championship game. I mean, one of the best. And to me, some of the adjustments they made in the second half, they were switching on the same possession the defenses they were in. They would start off in man. And because Wisconsin wasn't really pushing the ball, because they were just, you know, kind of methodically bringing it up, they were able to show man as they brought the ball up and then fall back into a 1-2-2 or 2-3 zone to kind of protect the big man when they needed to. Then he took him out and got 3.5 great minutes from his backups, 3.5 minutes where Wisconsin couldn't really close the gap, and he put Justice Winston and Julio Okafor on the bench. Those were key moments where, you know, Wisconsin had a chance to close the gap, to put some points up on the board, to attack, but they weren't able to. So, unfortunately, Duke won. O'Ryan had a great year, and I'm going to tell you, he's done a great job at Wisconsin. He's built a very solid program. They're going to lose a couple guys. They're going to lose Decker. They're going to lose Kaminsky. It's going to be fun to see if he can replace those guys. I think he is a quality coach as well. But Wisconsin may have, I'm not going to say choke, but they may have just really, really juggled a great opportunity and lost a great opportunity to win a national championship. Because you know, you don't really see them in this mix too often. Last year and this year, I think they had a great group of kids. I'm not saying they can't make it. I don't know, you know, who he has coming in. I'm going to have to do some research on that. But I think, you know, we may not see a team this cohesive, this senior-laden, this versatile, and this experienced, you know what I'm saying, in the finals for a while. I think, you know, everything's going to the younger team. So it's going to be, you know, saying good to see. Good run, Wisconsin. They represented the Big Ten well. Michigan State represented the Big Ten well. Definitely after a year that they said the Big Ten was kind of having a down year. So this was definitely good representation for them. And it should be a good, you know, good season for them, you know, next year in basketball.
In both major sports.
Excuse me?
In both major sports, the Big Ten represented this year.
Okay.
Football and basketball, we represented very well. I can't give them a mad respect.
Let's see if it's a pattern or is it an anomaly? Let's talk about,
I think it's going to be a pattern.
Go ahead.
No, so I think it's going to be a pattern. Top recruits, Michigan State, Ohio State have, and coming in for football, and Michigan have coming in for football, I think it's going to be a pattern there. And like you said, I mean, Wisconsin had a lot of talent. I mean, too bad some of the talent's going to go, but I guarantee they'll recruit big, do their thing. Ohio State normally has a good recruiting class. Michigan should be back on the map again. They lost their point guard, and they lost their whole backcourt, you know, say it's an injury, so they should be back plus some depth. Michigan State, you already know what they're going to do. So I see the Big Ten back there again with no problems as far as the basketball goes.
Okay, well, I'm glad you did bring up football aspect. We did have the first of the spring games in the Big Ten this week. Michigan had their spring game Debut of Harbaugh, debut of some new players, new schemes, what have you. To me, I'm not really excited about it. I saw possibly an improved defense.
Not at all.
Possibly a still troubled offense. The only good thing is there was a number of injuries. You know, good thing is there was a number of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple guys, a couple key guys didn't play this spring game, and the teams were split right down the middle. So you definitely had some starters on opposite teams and so forth. So the defense, though, I mean, they looked okay, but I don't know if I was looking at better defense or bad offense. I don't know. Shane Morris, 11 to 24, threw a touchdown, interception. Alex Malzahn was 12 of 17 for 95 yards. A little bit of looseness in the pocket. I'm gonna tell you, I'm looking for the transfer and the freshman from Texas to join this race because neither one of these guys really impressed me at all.
So, Carl, knowing what you know now, right? But we're going to start by saying this. Michigan did play in front of a 60,000 people crowd, which is excellent. It broke all records. But like you said, knowing that the sophomore, my man, didn't do nothing, this transfer is going to come in and start, I believe. That's why he's coming in, the one from Iowa. And the freshman that you're looking at, I think he's going to surpass everybody on the quarterback board and be the man next year. The running game, I didn't see nothing special off the running game either. I don't know. It was just that if the line was just that bad. But they always say the defense is better than the offense. You know, the defense always has a heads up over the offense no matter what. Starting off, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, the longest rush of the day was a 34-yard by Davion Smith. We also had a fumble loss. You had a lot of drop passes by all the receivers out there. I mean, you had a majority. I mean, everybody who caught a pass dropped a pass damn near, which doesn't look good for me. I mean, people had multiple drops out there. I'm looking at right now, we're looking at somebody has to assert themselves as a true number one receiver. I'm not seeing that right now. The quarterback play is very questionable, and they had a total of 5 sacks right now as well. I'm looking right now at a team that has to, those recruits that come in are going to have to start. Those 5-star recruits that you got coming in, I think they're going to get a plethora of playing time.
What,
it won't be no
sitting
on the bench. What
5-star recruits?
Well, 4 or 3-star. Whatever recruits you got coming in, because you said there's a couple of linemen coming in, right? They had a big offensive tackle that was supposed to come in this year that you were so hyped about. I think this right here is going to be – say it again?
Go ahead. I'm going to let you finish. Go ahead.
I'm looking at right now. I think Michigan – right now, needs some help with that line. That quarterback is going to have to come in and assert himself because these two are not going to do it. The receiving game goes. All the recruits, I guarantee, is coming are going to have to play. That's what I'm looking at right now. It's like nobody really stood out. You know what I'm saying? Even the running game was kind of sloppy. You know what I'm saying? The offense, the defense was stellar, but it said, you know, the defense rules the day, but the offense was choppy and sloppy in the Michigan spring game. That's your headline right there. 7-0.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, offensively was not impressed. Offensively was definitely not impressed. Ty Isaac got hurt. Wilson Spates, who's the I don't know if he's a third year sophomore this year or second year sophomore, second or redshirt freshman. He didn't play. He's also in a quarterback situation, a quarterback competition. He didn't play due to a pulled groin. Running back, we saw Devin Smith. We saw a little bit of Derrick Green, and we saw a lot of other guys. They really didn't show very much. Wyatt Shawman was a guy from Country. Was it Country Day? No, sorry. CC. And I didn't even think he was going to play running back, but he's still out there at the running back position. He didn't show very much. The line, I think, is the problem. And I know that they said that the defense is ahead of the offense usually at this time, and you know that may be true in some, you know, a lot of instances, but generally. Guys who are individually talented, their talent starts to show. So if I'm individually talented and I'm better than you, I mean, whether we're a cohesive unit or not, I should be putting you on your butt or defeating you in blocks, opening holes sometimes. I'm not seeing that.
Yeah.
New offensive line coach. I don't know. I mean, they say a power runner scheme. So when you say power runner, you know, you can have a power runner scheme in with a zone blocking system. You can have a power runner scheme with a man system that look man to me for the most part. But again, though,
I didn't see no zone blocking out there. You saw zone blocking?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying I don't see with me not know. We don't know exactly. Let's be 100% clear. Everybody knows that these schemes that are running these spring games are ultra vanilla. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Ultra vanilla. And when you look at a team like Michigan, they're not going to show too much of what they're going to do because nobody knows what they're going to do. That is an advantage that they kind of have right now. We don't know what they're going to do because we've got an offensive coordinator from USC who could do some USC stuff. We got Harbaugh in the mix who's been at, you know, Stanford and San Fran, so you could be looking at some of that stuff. You got a quarterback coach, coordinator, passing game coordinator who just came from the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that's an advantage that they have. So they ran some very, very vanilla stuff, probably some stuff that they don't even plan on running. Just some stuff to kind of see what's up. Basically, the alley with 11 people out there. You know
okay,
what I'm saying?
I got you.
Not saying everything, but we're trying to see what we got here. In a live action scenario, game day type thing. Let's see what we got. Now, with that being said, offensively, I am not excited at all. Defensively, though, I am a little bit excited. Because defensively last year, we were okay. Not great, but not terrible. Kept us in a lot of games. We lacked an efficient playmaker who can give us that big play when we needed it to get us off the field. I'm telling you, I like the Jabril Peppers guy. I like him at safety because he's physical. If we need him to drop down and cover a slot guy, or we just need to throw him on an outside guy who's killing us, we can do that, but we also have a guy who can roam the field and make plays, see everything in front of him and make plays. I like that. The linebackers look very active, look very athletic. They look physical. I like that. The linemen, we didn't see the top two defensive ends out there. There was still some pressure from the middle. There's a lot of depth there, a lot of experience depth. So I do like that. I do like also that we're going to be multiple fronts now. We have a couple guys who kind of fit different schemes, body types, can do a couple different things. So I like that multiplicity, I should say, that we're going to have on defense. But I will say this, in terms of the recruits plan, at this level, the football is such a physical aspect. You have to be a really special guy to play. Normally, you know, they have three to five guys who play out of about 20. I'm expecting that quarterback. I mean, he looked pretty good to me in high school. I know he's in high school, but 6'5", 6'6", 240, you run a 4'6", with a cannon of an arm, playing in a pro-style slash spread offense. He sounds kind of like Kaepernick a lot, just a little bit. Just a little bit. I mean, you saw it, like I saw. He got off for 80 yards. You saw him a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I think Harbaugh. And I don't know if you remember what type of player Harbaugh was, but he was a decent quarterback he can throw, but he had some wicked feet. He was running that boy. He was running the option. He was doing a lot of things with his feet, and I think he likes that in his quarterback. That's number one. But then looking at what I saw out there this Saturday, and I don't know what State can do because he didn't play. Shane Morris has not impressed me since he's been here.
Not at all.
I wasn't impressed on Saturday. Malzahn looks to be a young guy who still needs to adjust to the speed of the game. He needs some seasoning, okay? I don't know what Spade is because I haven't seen it, okay? The Zentry kid looks like he physically is ready. Coming from a program from Texas, we know how the prep is in Texas. He may be ready to compete. Then you look at the guy from Iowa who has 2 years start, and I'm going to have to really look at him and see what he did at Iowa. Not very much, because they haven't done very much there. But he gives them some, but, you know, I don't know if it's the scheme. I don't know if it's him. I don't know if he don't have enough talent around him. So he may give him the best chance to win if he can pick up the scheme, because he can't come in and practice until the fall. So it's going to be very, very interesting, man. And we're going to start seeing some transfers, too, because I'm going to tell you what. He's got this boy here. He's got two freshmen here. He's got the transfer coming. He wanted to play 1 year, so it's all in for him this year. He's going for a starting spot, okay? Shane Morris, who's a junior, really, because this is his third year, right? Or is he a red? He might be a redshirt sophomore. I don't know if he played that model that first year. I don't know if he played that first year or not, but he definitely. No, he did, because he played that bowl game. Yes, he did.
He played
his junior.
He played the bowl game.
He played the bowl game, and then he played last year and got knocked unconscious or silly or whatever it was.
Yep.
So that's 2 years. So he's going into his junior. So he only got 2 years left in the system, this year and next year in the system, pretty much. And then they got a transfer.
He's ready to get the hell out of God.
Well, if he doesn't, I think if he doesn't become a starter this year, he probably will. I can see Spate and him, the older guys who are here, the older guys, and depending on where they are on the depth chart. If they're three or lower, they're probably out of here. Shane Morris, if he gets beat out by the fifth year guy, maybe he waits another year. But if he gets beat out by if he's lower than the freshman on the depth chart, oh, he's out of there. Well, I didn't see much from you. I'm telling you, it's going to be, and that's why I think he's going to recruit like crazy, because he believes in competition. This is a whole different world for him. This is not like we drafted you, invested this money in you, so we got to see you for 3 or 4 years. Every year, he can go get a dog if he wants to, and if they're willing to come, kind of like Urban Meyer has done. You know what I mean? And he's doing it because we got a 4-star recruit over the weekend from Indiana. Quarterback, and don't forget, we got the transfer from Houston who can't play this year, who's going to be coming. I think he's only going to be a sophomore or a junior. So we're talking about six to eight quarterbacks going to be in the mix next year. Like six
so
right now.
So these two cats right here are going to be gone. I guarantee you.
the cats we saw
on this shit, don't worry about it. Morris and the other cat that played.
You know what? I'm not gonna front on Malzone though. I'm not gonna front on Malzone for the simple fact that he's still young. They're gonna coach him like crazy.
Went through 2 interceptions. 3 interceptions.
He threw 2 interceptions. But
one was
a tip ball. They got 2 tip balls, 2 catches.
It was a drop pass.
And then 1 pass ball.
Right.
So, but don't sleep on them, though. Don't sleep on them. But I mean, my favorite right now is the guy from, in pure physical ability, is the guy from Texas. Zach Gentry. That's the guy I like. I think somewhere along the line, this year or next, he may be in line. I don't know. But I don't want to spend too much time on him, man. Let's check our time real quick. I want to get into this.
8:20.
Oh, okay. Got a little time. So let's talk a little bit about let me ask you. I mean, I've heard a little bit of what you heard to say, but, you know, you're a football aficionado. From what you saw from those boys, what is your prognostication? This early, I'm going to ask you 3 or 4, 5, 10 more times. So I'm being worried about it. What is your prognostication?
Yeah, you're right.
You guys?
Really early. No, I think I'm going to jump the gun when I said 8-9 wins for Michigan. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was thinking because, you know, the, he was going to bring
said
it back.
You said 9 or 10, I believe. But go ahead, I took 8 or 9.
I said 8 first, then I said 9. Then I said, you're right, 10 wins.
I did say that.
But I'm looking for it. Yeah, now. After actually observing the spring game. Say again?
They got UNLV. They got Utah. Like, all their games, like, they got 2 real tough. Utah's going to be a tough game. They open up against
Utah's
going
to be tough. Utah's no longer a sleeper. Yeah, Utah's no longer a sleeper team no more that you could just rest on. Utah came up here and spanked Michigan ass before, so no. Utah's a dominant team. I'm sorry.
Then we play UNLV.
I would say. The slouch right now. That's how I'm looking
at.
What
now?
No game is a slouch right now. Damn, that's the only
game. You got to tighten up your bootstraps?
Yeah. Every game right now is one of those games.
I'm going to tell you,
because
I expect them to be much better.
This is what I saw. I saw the defense. I expected them to be a little bit more crisp. I expect the receivers to be better, like making the defense all they ask. It's like they ask the defense to let up a little bit so the offense can get, you know, could do some things. That's how it looked out there. If the defense dictated everything, I mean everything, you know what I'm saying? They owned the line of scrimmage. They owned the receivers out there. Some receivers couldn't get off the damn ball. You know what I'm saying? They seemed not knowing how they want to block certain runs. You were right. It wasn't supposed to be a power scheme, like double team the point of attack, people pulling, kicking out. But it was so many stalemates right there. It was ridiculous. You saw no push from your offensive line. That's what I was saying. Some of the people coming in has got to do something this year. So, I mean, they're going to perfect their trait. They're going to work. I guarantee you nobody's going home in the summer. Everybody's going to stay up there and work. The transfer's going to come in. They're going to blend them in so quick and fast. Like I said, with the transfers coming in, like I said, a quarterback, because neither one of the two quarterbacks we saw is going to be the starting quarterback day one or for the whole season. I'm saying that right now, if somebody gets hurt. Hopefully they get a couple of receivers to come in as well. So JC kind of something like that, that, you know, that's proven. You know, so I guarantee you this roster that we saw today is not set. We're going to see a lot more newer faces that's going to be participating playing. With that, I'm going to say I'll give them 7 wins right now. We'll see after the first game. Who's their first game? Is their first game a warm-up game? Or are they getting into the grits and the chicken and grits?
They open up at night at Utah, baby.
Okay, so yeah. So damn it, damn. Okay.
Now, remember I tell you that them boys pay me to get them some folks and get their way up?
Yeah.
Michigan looking like State used to look. We need some cupcakes. But I'm gonna tell you this, and I'm gonna be honest about it. I'm gonna try not to be a homer. 100%. I believe a couple things went on here. They definitely need a lot of work. The receivers look shitty. And they're gonna be a problem.
Terrible.
Hopefully they get better. But
terrible.
Because of the talent that we have in the tight end position, I wouldn't be surprised. And let's remember, he's the guy Harbaugh coached, Zach Ertz. Harbaugh coached, what's the other one? What's the guy from the Colts tight end?
The one they drafted Luck. I know you're talking about.
NFL quality tight end, receiving threat tight end at Stanford. Those guys, Jake Butt if healthy, Ian Bunning if healthy, Khalil Hill who's coming off the ACL. I wouldn't be surprised if the tight end was our leading either receiver in terms of catches or yards. You know what I'm saying? Or a combination of the two. That wouldn't surprise me. That wouldn't surprise me at all. With that said, I do expect a couple guys, you know what I'm saying, to rise to the occasion and be decent. I don't know if I see special, but I see decent. But I think the running game is going to be the key. I don't know what this guy Ty Isaac
can do.
They're expecting a lot of him. But I think even with decent blocking, Devyon Smith and Derrick Green, with decent blocking, can be valuable pieces. You know, I know you want us to have that dominant back. I don't see that dominant back out there, and if we have done it by committee before, you know what I'm saying? Clarence was part of a committee. He won that championship. Him, Chris Howard, you know what I'm saying? So it can be done.
But at the
you
same time,
I
understand what you said. But like you said, though, like you just said, if they got a dominant tight end, that means that running game has got to be.
It might not be
so
one.
Far.
It might not be one. Even when Harbaugh played, he had Derek Walker and Derek Brown, two guys who
The one on the play in the NFL, one was like a fourth-round pick, and that was like a sixth-round pick, and they both played many years. It may not be just one dominant guy. It may be two guys that got combined for 60, 70 catches.
I think, did he play with Thomas Wilshere, too? Hey, did he play with Thomas Wilshere, too?
He may have.
Yeah, he was back there. Thomas Wilshere was in the backfield with him.
Now, I don't remember Thomas Wilshere as a regular tailback. He got some care. He may have been part of the platoon. I don't know. That's how my memory begins with Michigan as Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
And I don't know if Wilshere was that guy.
He wasn't the leader for him, but he was in the rotation with him. He was in the rotation back there.
I ain't gonna hate on that. Let's keep it moving. Now, let's talk a little bit about the NFL, man. There's a lot of news going on here, man, that's kind of outside the field. I'm going to touch on it. We're going to keep it moving. But your boy, man, LeGarrette Blount, man, who got off.
Once again.
Got off of the deal with Bell, has somehow violated the substance abuse thing and only got one game. For his transgression, but he's going to miss the opening game of the season. They're still expecting Le'Veon Bell to miss two games next year. For all you Le'Veon Bell fans who may want to grab him in a fantasy draft, you may be facing a two-game suspension for him. Any quick words on that real quick?
Oh, man, he's just a straight-up asshole. that's all to it, man. You know, Bell should have. I think Blount, wasn't it Blount that got caught with the weed, and then blamed it on Bell, something like that. And then, you know, anyway, but I don't like Bell. I mean, I don't like Blount for the simple fact that he was decisive in the locker room.
I think they
didn't like, you know,
they both were smoking the car. He didn't blame it on Bell. It was in Bell's car. They both were in there.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna tell you like this, man. You know, I don't like Blount. You know, just because what he did at Pittsburgh to hurry up and get out of there, so he knew he was going to get picked up by New England, something like that. So, you know, dumbass, kid caught. He should get 3-game suspension anyway. And, you know, he's, you know, a hothead. Anybody who is decisive in the locker room on purpose to get kicked off a team, I have no respect for.
We ain't holding him up. Well, another news.
Not at all.
AP met with Giselle about his reinstatement. He's supposed to be, I guess, eligible for reinstatement April 15th, which is coming up quickly. I hope that goes through, man. That boy has been through a lot already, and I just really want to see some talent on the field, man. I don't agree with what he did. I understand what he did. He definitely should punish him. I think the punishment may have been a little bit excessive, but it is what it is now, man. Let that man live. Let that man get some counseling, possibly learn, you know, better way to discipline his kids, or maybe a less excessive way. No, it's true. But let that man live, man, and don't waste some of his last good years, man, over this BS, man.
All right, now here's the argument that I'm getting to with
one point of time,
my cousin Pookie all the time.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but here's the argument me and Pookie get into all the time. You just reinstated. Dallas Cowboys will make enough cap room to make a run for this guy. They still want him. Even if it's trading, the guy they picked up for the Raiders. You also have Arizona Cardinals that have
Hold on, I got to stop you now.
Huh?
Don't be just trying to throw people in the mix, man. You want to get rid of them. Don't nobody want McFadden.
We already know that.
Nobody trying to get McFadden. Nobody trading for McFadden, though. Well, go ahead, though, man.
Or they would just set up drop McFadden to get Adrian Peterson. Do you see the Cowboys making a run at this man because they've been meeting, you know, plenty of times?
Well, yeah. I see them making a run. But here's the deal. And I'm not aficionado, but, you know, y'all should be calling me king with all my fantasy championships. But that's neither here nor there. I have to speak that
man,
in.
Just
though,
shut the hell up and answer the damn question.
Slick talker, that's what I am. Yeah. But let's talk about it. I think they are going to make a run at him. You know, they already basically tampered and said wanted to go there. Jerry wanted him to go there. They already kind of been gazing at each other from across the room in a crowded dance. They just need that right song to come on.
they can make their way to the middle of that floor and somehow get it together. But I'm going to tell you, the crux of the problem is that Minnesota has him under contract for 3 years at a great, not for them, but at a high number. Okay, this is where we talk about the economics of football. This is where, really, for me, I really, really like it. I don't like it, but I like it because if you know it, you can really, really work the system. A la Belichick.
Go ahead.
Here's this. He's making like $14 million, right? Cap number of like 16 something because of his signing bonus. But Minnesota's willing to eat it because they want him to play. So the only way they can get rid of that is for him to trade him. So if he's traded, Dallas, who's already in a bad cap situation, must absorb his current contract, then possibly, for the trade, they must absorb his current contract, okay? They can't do that right now. They would have to either cut massive players and create other holes or trade valuable pieces, a la Dez, which I don't think is going to happen.
They just tag him.
Romo, which I don't think is going to happen. Yeah, they still can trade him. Just because they tag him, I mean, trade doesn't mean you just can't get him. I can do whatever I want with him. That's why he's mad. He can't go out there and seek no other deal. He's stuck. So that's the part that they don't like. Or we can talk about draft picks. But as you can see, older backs, even if they're great, they're valued differently in terms of draft picks. You see somebody like my man is traded for, well, actually he was Keke Alonso, which is a good player, but he's coming off of ACL, and it's kind of hard to equate his draft number because he was really a fifth-round draft pick when they drafted him, and he overperformed in his 1 year. He was an all-pro player, but now, so I would say probably he performed like a first or a second round, a high first or a second-round pick, you know what I'm saying, which would be great value, but he's also coming off an ACL injury. So we don't know kind of what he is. So I would give him overall a third or fourth round grade right now, considering everything, injuries or whatever. That's just me, just coming up with something out of my head. It does not benefit the Minnesota Vikings to accept a fourth round pick for Adrian Peterson. it's just not. So they're going to say, well, listen, you need to go trade me some players that we need and want, a la Dez. We got a gun quarterback. We don't need Romo. Or you're going to come off a one and a two first or second round pick. And they're not going to take no BS. And you got a 30-year-old running back who's coming off, you know, a year off, not no injury, but a year off. You don't know what I think I know what I'm giving. I don't know, but you don't really know. Would they be willing to do that? Would they be willing to trade multiple high picks for him? I think if they just get to a point where he says, I ain't playing or I'll retire or whatever, and Minnesota says, well, you know what, we'll take a third and a fifth this year and a conditional one or two next year just in case he blow up. If he gets something like that, well, okay, yeah, we'll take it. Or if it's some type of Herschel Walker move, like, you know, I'll give you two, like six picks over the next 3-4 years, 8 picks over the next 3-4 years for him. That can happen. Or 3 or 4 picks in 1 year. That can happen. But I don't think Dallas is going to do that because Dallas is trying to be
They already did it once.
They did what are you talking about?
They did a colossal trade like that once before.
Oh, but this is a whole different regime, though, baby. But
yeah.
I think their son is kind of taking over. He wants to be a little bit more fiscally responsible, be able to sign and keep his players. But he also, you know, he's trying to be smart. They've used the draft the last 2 or 3 years to kind of strengthen themselves, get themselves in position to be quality players. Really on defense, can you name anybody who's on their team? Anybody?
Hardy. No.
Who?
Hardy, the DN they just picked up.
Hardy. Oh, Hardy.
Yeah, look at the DN they just picked up. Yes, yeah, Hardy.
Before him?
No, that's about it.
See what I'm saying? Not a great keeper.
But their defense has been doing good, though.
They got some overpriced players there. They got some picks that haven't hit, but they have had some picks that have hit. And they're trying to build through the draft more. You know what I'm saying? Keep our young talent. Maybe add a guy like a Hardy if we can. But also get some quality talent through the draft. You know what I'm saying? So, AP, I mean, they may go after him. It's going to take a lot to get him, though, I believe. And I don't know if Dallas is good enough. Now, you were saying about Arizona real quick. What about Arizona?
Do they have the type of cap space or something like that? Because they was inquiring about him as well, when they thought that he had a chance, to hit the when he was talking about he was distraught and everything else. It was always Arizona and Dallas was two teams that was inquiring or mentioned about him. So I was thinking that one of those two teams was actually going to try to put a bid in for him. My thing is, Adrian Peterson felt very hurt and disrespected by everybody in the Minnesota staff. He said they didn't have his back. They kind of outlined him, blackballed him and everything else. So I was thinking his main concern was just getting the hell out of Dodge. You know, so I know he's on the contract
anybody,
and everything else.
Anybody willing to give up a one or a two?
One or a three. I'm looking at a one or a three pick for him.
Anybody willing to give up two of their first or their two top three picks for him? They may can get him.
And I'm saying a team that has a lot of depth right now that she doesn't see that needs to have a lot of holes to fill, and a team that's good that doesn't need to have a lot of holes to fill is somebody like the Arizona Cardinals that can make a move like that and pick up and still be doing their thing. You see what I'm saying? I think the Cardinals did an excellent job of picking up, a lineman in the free agency, some more defense, so they did everything they needed to do to make themselves better. So that's a team I think that he can go to and perform. Shit, they went and picked up one of the best guards on free agent. See, just so they can help out with that running game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be a good move, but again, it depends on what they want to give up. Number one picks are so coveted, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's 30 years old. I don't know. I mean, if I'm Dallas, I don't know how many picks Dallas has. If I believe in myself, I may trade my number one for him. But I think he got about 3 or 4 good years.
I think Arizona would do the same thing.
Economics of the move. I mean, I know we keep talking about what we like, but there are economical features in this game, man, and they do play a part. He costs a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Let's keep it moving, man. Let's talk about these D tackles, man, and these DNs, man. I know this is getting close to the draft, and actually the D tackle position is a position that the Lions really, really need some help at. You got some guys, man, that we need to take a look at.
Of course I do. Position at the Lions we drafted at. A couple might be available. Danny Shelton, 6'1", 343-pound D tackle from Washington. Malcolm Brown, 6'2", 320-pounder from Texas. Those are two people that I think that look good on the other side. What's his name? Lonanati. I can't pronounce his name. I picked up crazy. I'm sorry.
That's a lot.
I can't pronounce his name. Right.
Big Nada.
Yeah, well, Big Nada. You don't feel like that in Big Nada. So those are two other people I think that look good. You also have, because I think Lenard Williams from Southern California, Eddie Goldman from Florida State, the 6'4", 320-pounder from Florida State, both of those will be gone by the time the Lions get a pick. So I'm looking at that right there. You also had a 6'6", 334-pounder, Jordan Phillips out of Oklahoma, that might be there. That was somebody they were talking about from Nebraska. I guess he was a DN. He was supposed to be a beast. And because he failed the drug physical at the combine, he was like supposed to be a top 5, top 6 pick. That he might be able to drop down to the Lions. Now, my question to you is this. Do we take a chance? I know how the Lions are character people. There's some reason, somehow, they just don't like to take chances on them. Do we pick this guy up and fill him in there?
Randy Gregory. Brendan Gregory, man, good player from Nebraska. The only way I pick him up on ability-wise is if we're going to go to a 3-4 defense. Maybe not exclusively,
okay,
but most, because he's like 6'6", 240. He's a long guy. He reminds me of Kalimba Edwards. I don't know if he's going to be able to play the end as a 4-3 guy. He looks projects as an outside linebacker, but he's still, you know, he's quick. He's got good hands. He's sudden. He's a tough guy. He's a little light. He plays with some power, but I just think that he's still a little bit light. And I don't know. He has some nice numbers, but I don't know about him. You know what I mean? Again, it's off the field problem. You know, we're talking about a field test here. We can understand that. You know, but we're talking about a guy who's had multiple field tests. This has been a major issue for him. And I think, you know, for me, I'm not going to say he's off my board. But because he's had so many issues so early, I'm dropping him, not restraining lower. I think he's going to go somewhere in the top 15. I really do, because of his ability. But I'm dropping him probably to outside my top 20.
Second round,
like really good. Well, second round because he is talented, but you don't know what type of problems you're going to have with this guy. I mean, this guy has not been able to put him down. I know a lot of people, man, who are very close and close to me, who has put him down for job opportunities or whatever. You have a job opportunity that could pay you multi-millions, okay? You've already had a history of this at college, but they're going to be asking you about it anyway when you go to your interviews. For you to go to the job interview, to the drop, high, I'm not saying you went high, but dirty, I don't know. And then he said that the last time, this is what the guy said. Now, this is what, when the story came, I said, who was his agent and who is talking to the guy? Yeah, I know, you know, it's a continuous problem that he had, whatever. He said his problem at the combine, which was in, what was the combine in February?
Yeah.
Said the last time he had smoked was in December is what he said.
In December. Yeah, that's fucking ridiculous, yeah.
And he said, well, this is what he said. Well, because of the high dosages I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was I can't quote it. Regularity or whatever, it stayed in his body for 2 months.
Right.
Which, you know, possibly, I mean, I don't know, but I think that, you know, at some point when I'm, you know, becoming a parent, that I'm going to be having to do all type of things for NFL personnel, it has to stop. Find another vice.
There's another Ricky Williams, got it?
No, but no, I wouldn't take him. I don't think he's a perfect scheme fit for us, and I think he may have problems. A lot of good greenery around here. He might, you know, give him a couple $1 million.
Man, please.
Let me ask you this. So you did brought up a lot of good names. I see my boy did this research. I'm applause. You do your thing. If you're a 3-4 team that loves, I mean, I'm sorry, yeah, 3-4 team that loves that defensive tackle, I mean, I'm sorry, that nose tackle, you got a lot of options.
Yes, you do.
I look at Nada. Nada can do that, and he can be an active guy in the 4-3 front. Now, I see they signed this undersized guy initially because his versatility, and he can, you know, provide some push, I guess, in the pass rush. But I don't know. Do you want another? I mean, unless I'm really, really trying to clog up stuff and not really get that push that I'm used to. I think Sutton spoiled me with the push that he provides. Am I just trying to keep these backers, I mean, these linemen off my backers? I'm just going to put another hog up there? Or am I trying to get somebody to make some plays? The reason I ask is because I think it's a lack of playmakers at the defensive tackle position, true playmaker. I just think they're trying
to. I was just about to tell you that. the thing is, we were split with Sue was this. It's like I said, something me and Pooh talk about, me and my cousin talk about all the time. Sue was the type of player that never took his ass off the field. You rarely see him have to come off the field when it came to a big play or it came to a big down and distance. We were spoiled by that. We need to have a rotation now for that. You know what I'm saying? Now, Leonard Williams is supposed to be one of them high-energy, high-motor guys, same size, same everything as Sue. 6'5", 300 pounds. Can move and can maneuver and can do everything. But outside of that, though, you have question marks. Like I said, the guy from Washington, 6'1", 343 pounds, that's somebody that's a hell of a run stopper and can push the pocket back into the quarterback, but at the same time, he's going to need rotation. My man from Texas, 6'2", 320 pounder. You know what I'm saying? Another guy, excellent quickness and speed. You know what I'm saying? This is an interesting prospect. Speed, quickness, and serve is a three technique with enough size and strength to also play nose tackle in a 43 defense. Brown is at his best when he's firing a gap, cause havoc in the backfield. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is, he's a great gap control person. So that's the type of person you want to be in the gap so your linebackers can roam freely so they can get to the ball. And that's what Big Nada did for Baltimore Ravens. When Ray Lewis was there, when the year they won the Super Bowl, the first year they won the Super Bowl, they had the Goose, Sarah Gusa. After that, they kind of fell down, you know, because the Goose retired. Ray Lewis begged to get another big nose tackle to help take the double team so he could roam freely. That was in the 34 defense, mind you. But the same concept is what the Lions is hoping he can do. He can take the double team so the linebackers can roam freely. I believe that's the concept the Lions is trying to imitate here. It's not going to be a 34, but you got to understand, it's variations of a 43 defense to even to imitate a 34. You see what I'm saying? You know, so you can kick it to a 43 over front or under front. You can make it look like a 30, but it's not really a 30 to put it so your linebackers can roam free. And I guarantee you that's what the Lions are trying to do here. But to do that, you need one more D tackle. That's why I'm mad that they didn't sign Mosley back, because Mosley messed himself up when he got suspended for disarming the thing over in Europe, when he disarmed the thing so he could smoke weed or whatever. So, I mean, clearly our D tackle can stop smoking weed. But second, though, I believe that's what's going to lie right there. You're going to need a D tackle to help out. You know what I'm saying? If Alana gets that double team, you're going to need somebody that can dominate a one-on-one block, because you can only double team one of those D tackles. And that's what I think is going to hear. It's going to be the scheme of things. That's why it's kind of hard for them to say that we're better now on defense than we were when Sue was here. That's what my man's trying to sell us. He said that already in the conference, but I'm not believing it. But I think that's where the Lions got to go. They got to get a D tackle. So Lana's going to get that double team. The other guy's going to kill the guy one-on-one.
Well, my list is very similar to yours, so I don't want to go into it. I want to get our mock draft picks in from picks 11 through 20. But I do have a sleeper,
okay.
A guy who I do like, who possibly can be a second round consideration, maybe a third round consideration. Actually, I'm looking at ESPN. He's moving up the charts as we speak. He was like seventh or eighth last week,
okay.
But now he's like fourth. But Mike Bennett out of Ohio State, not a big bruiser. 6'2½", 295
right.
pounds. Guy who's shown ability to stuff the run, be strong at the point of attack, be active at the point of attack, be disruptive in the backfield, but also can get the quarterback and put some pressure on him. I think we definitely, like you said, need somebody who can maximize against the one-on-one block that they receive. But we need somebody who can put the pressure on the quarterback. I can go either way. I think that if we're just going to get another plugger, just put on the side of Nada kind of be the active guy, and we're just trying to plug it on up and keep those other guys off our linebackers, we can wait around the two for those guys. So there's a number of those big guys, 6'3", 230, 6'4", 330, 6'2", 325. There's a number of those guys there. You know what I mean? And if we can take a look at the upgrade at the offensive line position or running back that first round, I can see us getting one of those big plugs in the second round at the defensive line position. But like you said, there's really no.
You're absolutely right, though.
Yeah.
I'm looking at what you're saying. The guy from Michael Bennett from Ohio State, You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He said this thing could go late in the first or early in the second. You're right, 6'2", 293 pound. You know what I'm saying? He's a good guy, but here's another person that I could, that's like, he's ranked number 7 overall. Number 8 overall is Carl Davis, a D-tackle from Iowa. 6'4", 321 pounds. He's a second to third round pick. You know what I'm saying? They say he has excellent, he did real good at the Senior Bowl. That's something that he stood on everybody. His skill is like that of a potential first round pick. He was strong to shed block, stuff run, and bull rush his way into the pocket. Also shows speed to fire by blockers and close on the quarterback. Had a good combine performance. He's excellent sideline to sideline. That's what you want with your defensive tackles as well. He doesn't get caught going upfield. You know, say he goes upfield and he doesn't get caught going past. He has excellent to be able to bend his hips and get around to get to the quarterback as well. This is a second or third round grade right here. That's somebody that's 6'4", 320 pounds. So even though it looks like your guy's climbing the charts, like you said, they got him projected as a late first, early second. This guy right here might be around for a second or third as well. And he has that depth that you might need.
He might be. We got 10 minutes, man. We got the pressure is on. And look here, you know, we're going to pick a player this week, man. And once he is gone, he is gone, man. We can't be messing around.
Number 11. Minnesota Vikings. Devontae Parker, wide receiver at Louisville. He is so far the third best receiver on my board. Even though your boy Perryman ran an electrifying 4.27 40, but you know what I'm saying, his body of work is still there. Go.
Number 11. I'm gonna go with your boy, Trey Wayne.
Number 11, the Vikings.
Huh? Your boy, Trey Wayne.
Number 12. Cleveland. Hold on. Number 12. 12 has the Cleveland Browns. I have Collins from LSU going, offensive tackle. They're going to need some help at that at the line because your boy got lit up. Now, give me a minute. I'm going to say two, Marcus Mariota, because they just told us this year they're done with your boy. Show me the money. So you know how that goes.
Okay. At Cleveland, that's a good pick. That Lyle Collins pick. I'm really surprised that you, man. Give you credit for that, man. That's a guy I'm hoping that falls to the Lions somehow, somewhere. They don't mess it up, but I wouldn't be mad at him right there because he can play tackle or guard or whatever. That's a good pick, yo. I'm gonna go.
Okay, number 30.
Danny Shelton, man. I'm gonna go Danny Shelton. To give him a big fella on the inside. Phil Taylor's coming off some injuries on that. Not 3-4, so I'm going to go Danny Shelton, give him a nose tackle.
Okay. Number 13. With Trey Wayne, I'm sorry, cornerback, Michigan State. The Saints need some help.
Okay.
All the top receivers are going to be gone right there, so I think they're going to do their thing right there. You know they need a tight end now, but I'm just going to go with the defensive side of things.
Yeah, I don't think there is a first-round tight end in this draft, but I'm going to go with
right.
I'm gonna go one of the last outside rush guys. I'm gonna go Vic Beasley, man. They need somebody to rush the passer, put some pressure on the quarterback. Vic Beasley in that 3-4 defense. 14 Miami on the clock, baby.
Marcus Peters, cornerback Washington. I told y'all before, Washington has three top notch first round talent, a linebacker, a defensive tackle in the corner. This is one right here. Marcus Peters, after this, the talent falls the hell off at the cornerback position. So I think they're going to go ahead and help themselves out on defense with the Miami, especially they picked up Dominic Sue already. They're going to help out, so super rush, and they got somebody can, you know, damn near cover one side of the field with unassisted. That's what they got right there, Marcus Peters.
I'll tell you, that's kind of rich for Marcus Peters. He got a lot of off-field problems, man. He got a lot of talent, but he didn't run that full
off-field
time.
Off-field problems.
I'm gonna give him a wide receiver. I'm gonna give him somebody who can help out the quarterback they have on this contract year. I know they got Kenny Steele in the trade. They got Jarvis Landry last year to be a guy who can play in the slot. But they go with your boy, baby, the big fella, Brett Perriman's son from UCF.
Okay.
He was just running 4.27. He's from University of Central Florida. They get a chance to look at him real close up and see how good he is. 6'2", 212, 4.42. Big guy with speed.
Okay. Now, number 15. I was going with Armstead from Oregon, D-tackle, Eric Arik Armstead. from Oregon. Eric, but it's with an A, not an E. That's the only problem. They need some help on defense. Their linebackers, both one retired, the other one quit. So I think they're going to, you know, get some help there. On the defense side, I think San Francisco first couple of picks are going to be on defense. So there you go.
Well, just real quick, why Patrick Willis retired and the other one quit? What was that about, man? Why they both retired?
I'm going to tell like this. Hey, he retired, okay? The other one retired, okay?
Yeah.
I said he retired as well.
Sanford, I got the same guy, man, so we can keep it moving. Houston, man, this is where it gets interesting.
This week is interesting. There you go. Houston, I had Green Beck, the receiver from Missouri, but I think because my man ran that 4.240, I think Perriman flip-flops and comes up to here. And Houston picks up Perriman, the receiver out of Central Florida, because they need more speed. They got rid of Andre Johnson. They're trying to get more youth, you know what I'm saying? They need some help. So I think that's where they're going this year.
I'm going to tell you like this. They picked up Cecil Shorts at wide receiver. They have my boy Dookie over there, who had a good breakout season last year and became the number one guy. It's a very deep draft for receiver. I don't think they take a receiver that early in the draft. They can get one in the second or third round who can fit the role of their second or third receiver. So I'm not going to receiver that high. What I am going with that guy you just spoke about earlier, who I think is going to drop some from the top five. I don't think he gets past these guys because you got Jadeveon Clowney coming off that microfracture surgery. There's some question about is he going to be 100%. I got Randy Gregory going here to Houston, man. I give him an outside presence. And I get and improve that defense who lost the cornerback out there, so they're going to really need to put some pressure on the quarterback. So I got them going with Randy Gregory at Houston. Yep.
I mean, the other guy had going to Kevin Washington. 17, Todd Gurley. I think he's going right here to Georgia. San Diego, they pick up a running back. They lost a running back, two running backs, and I don't think they picked nothing up. So I think Todd Gurley's going right here to San Diego.
I'm on wait to see what they do, what he does, how he checks out medically before I throw him in there right there. But San Diego, I'm going to go with Malcolm Brown, the big defensive tackle, who gives them a little versatility to play tackle with their 3-4 or play nose guard in their 3-4.
18, Cameron Irving, Florida State center. They lost some linemen this year. I think Kansas City, you know, said they had a line that was played that stayed together for 16 games. That was a rock, you know, thing. They lost the line this year, so I think they're going to go right there. They're going to get some more people in front, help that running game, and everything else.
I like the O-line pick. I like Cameron Irving a lot because he can play guard or center or possibly tackle for him. And I gave him Cameron Irving as well because he stepped in for Rodney when they lost that center. Number 19, Cleveland.
Okay. Cleveland Browns, D tackle, Malcolm Brown, Texas. If he's there. I'm going with Marcus Mariotti. Going right there, number 19 for the Cleveland Browns. I'm sorry, I crossed that off my board.
So you ain't have to go in last week somewhere in the top 10?
Who, Malcolm Brown for Texas?
No, Mariotta.
No, I didn't have him going in the top 10. No. I had Winston going, and I had him, everybody's jumping back. I had Mariotti still on the board. He's going to Cleveland Brown.
Cleveland, and I got going Jalen Strong. Wide receiver, Philadelphia. I'm going with my safety, Landon Collins from Alabama. Gives him some backhand help. Got 40 seconds. Go ahead.
That's all I got for them. I got Jalen Collins. My apologies. I have them picking up Jalen Collins, the cornerback from LSU.
Okay, that's a good pick as well. I know they signed two guys in free agency though. But they still may need some help out there. It's been a good run, good show. Remember, you guys, if you don't have a passion for anything else, have a passion for life, have a passion for sports. We're coming to the end of the show. Tune in, tell a friend. Hey, check us out, baby. We're going to go out. I'm gonna go out to this this Kendrick, man. I like that. Don't kill my vibe.
Probably gonna sin again. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Things I don't understand. Sometimes I need to be alone. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. I can feel your energy from two planets away. I got my drink, I got my music, I will share it. But today I'm feeling, bitch, don't kill my vibe. 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 Look inside of my soul and you can find gold and maybe get rich. Look inside of your soul and you can find out it never exists. I can feel the changes. I can feel a new life. I always knew life can be dangerous. I can say that I like a challenge and you to me is painless. You don't know what pain is. How can I paint this picture when the colorblind is hanging with you? Fell on my face and I woke with a scar. Another mistake living deep in my heart. Wear it on top of my sleeve in a flick. I can admit that it did look like yours. Why you resent every making of his? Tell me your purpose is petty again. But even a small light, it can burn a bridge. Even a small light, it can burn a bridge. I can feel the changes. I can feel the new people around me just want to be famous. You can see that my city found me, then put me on stage. To me, that's amazing. To you, that's a quick check. With all disrespect, let me say this, say this, say this.
I am a sinner who's probably gonna sin again. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Things I don't understand. Sometimes I need to be alone. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe.
I can feel your energy from two planets away. I got my drink, I got my music, I will share it. But today I'm feeling, bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe.
I'm trying to keep it alive and not compromise the feeling we love. You're trying to keep it deprived and only co-sign what radio does. And I'm looking right past you. We live in a world, we live in a world on two different axles. You live in a world, you're living behind the mirror. I know what you're scared of, the feeling, emotions inferior. This shit is vital, I know you had to. This shit is vital, I know you had to. Die in a pitiful pain, tell me you're watching a change. It's way more believable, give me a feasible gain. Rather her seasonal name, I'll let the people know this is something you can blame. On yourself you can remain, stuck in a box. I'ma break out and then hide every lock. I'ma break out and then hide every lock. I can feel the changes. I can feel the new people around me just wanna be famous. You can see that my city found me, then put me on stages. To me, that's amazing. To you, that's a quick check. With all disrespect, let me say this, say this, say this.
I am a sinner who's probably gonna sin again. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Things I don't understand. Sometimes I need to be alone. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe.
I can feel your energy from two planets away. I got my drink, I got my music, I will share it. But today I'm feeling, bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe.